Now, though, we're joined on the line by a great actress who's doing so much incredible stuff on the screen and on stage. We're joined by Ernestine Phillips. You've seen her just recently, very, very recently, in a couple of great TV programs, Speechless and The Mindy Project. She's doing so much in addition to that. Ernestine, how are you this fine, fine evening?
Fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Really, really good to have you on. Now, I've got to ask you a question. This is AM Talk Radio. They do talk a little bit of politics on this show. I want to kick it off with your home state. You're born in Dallas, Texas.
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Land of Lion Ted.
Yeah, Lion Ted Cruz, if we want to go there, Dave. But I just got to ask you, you're based here, though, as an actress, I assume, with the great stuff you've done. You're based here in L.A. Is that fair?
Yes, I've been in Los Angeles for quite some time now.
Okay.
But I still consider myself a Texan.
Good. All Texans do. I've never met an ex-Texan.
No.
I've never met somebody who said, yeah, I was born and raised in Texas, but now I really like Oregon.
They're only sort of grudgingly American.
They're Texans first.
They are Texans first. So when you go back, and if you don't go back that often, Ernestine, when you speak to your Texan friends and relatives, what's going on in Texas now after the election with all the things happening with the Trump victory and Hillary didn't get it over the line? Are people in Texas, are they happy about the way things are? Are they not happy? Do they just think about other stuff in Texas?
Would that depend on what Texan you're talking about? The Texans
that Ernestine know. I'm asking Ernestine the question.
Well, the Texans that I know, I mean, of course they're not happy.
Okay.
They're not happy at all. It's confusing. It's crazy. We've stepped into the Twilight Zone and we need to get out of it.
And not one of the episodes that I liked. I liked a lot of the episodes of the Twilight Zone, but not this.
But I think that, you know, we feel the same as a lot of other, you know, people in our country, that things are just so bizarre.
Mm.
And we're just waiting for someone to get a handle on it to correct this mistake. So
yeah, you see, Tim, you know, watching the Twilight Zone on TV is one thing.
Right.
But being that guy that sees the gremlin out on the plane inside the TV show, that's a whole other thing.
It's totally unbelievable. Everyone is still shaking their heads. They've been shaking their heads for several months now.
Right.
Since it happened. So, and it's a scary situation.
Now, there was
it's
a time.
It's a scary situation for, I mean, it's for everyone, but especially people of color.
That's what I'm talking about.
And people are terrified.
Absolutely.
For their safety, et cetera. So, yeah, the people that I know are on edge and pins and needles, you know, just trying to try to have a normal life in the middle of all of this, but waiting, praying, whatever is necessary to get us back on track.
No, it's difficult for it's. I think there's one of the things that the election showed is there seems to be kind of like these two Americas that are competing in this country, and there's one America that wants one thing or a few things, and there's another America that's like, well, I'm afraid of those things that happening, or you know, those things that they're pushing for, because it threatens one or the other.
Now I'm going to ask you.
And then the guy actually running things doesn't know what he wants.
He wants cafefe.
Yeah,
that's
cafefe.
If we know what he wants. Now I've got to ask you, Ernestine. There was a time not very long ago when Texas voted Democrat. I mean, you look at Lyndon Baines Johnson, who did so much great civil rights legislation. But then, obviously, in the 80s, it turned red. It went to the Republicans. Can you envision something in the near future where Texas goes blue, Texas goes back to the Democrats, or even among the people you know, you don't see the numbers there growing in the next few years? Is there a chance
I mean, the people I know are Democrats.
Yeah, no, but as a state, will they be enough to take Texas over the line, knowing that the people you know are Democrats? But do you think that this could cause a shift broadly in the state to put it back to where it was in the 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, which was a strong Democratic state?
Well, I think that depends on just how terrible this situation gets.
Right.
I mean, it can just stand so much.
Right.
But
right.
I think it depends on that. It depends on the investigation.
Yes.
The Russian investigation. It depends on people paying attention to voter machine software being hacked. I mean, all of these things need to come out, and they need to come out very, very clearly so people can see what actually went on. And I think from that, hopefully, people will start thinking straight again and seeing that fearing each other
right.
is just a smokescreen
right.
that they presented for us. Because I think at the heart of the issue, we all want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I'll take some of that.
And, that's what I'm saying.
So we have to keep speaking the truth and not let lies take precedent over, you know, over what the truth is.
Absolutely.
Amen to that.
Absolutely. Now, you've had an amazing career so far. You've been on so many great programs. I mean, it's hard to think of one of the great TV shows in the last few years that you've not been on. NCIS, Southland, Desperate Housewives, Glee, ER, The Shield. These are all big, big shows. But you've got a love of the stage, and we're talking about some serious political issues as a convenient segue into your current play that you're starring in called Trouble in Mind.
Can Trouble in Mind by Alice Childress, but I have to give you know, kudos to the great Ellen Geer.
Who we've had on the show. We're big fans of Ellen.
Oh, good. Who's an outstanding director and actress on a, you know. And what I love about Theatricum is you see a show and you're educated and entertained at the same time. And in particular this season, she has selected these plays to really speak to our social climate of today.
Oh, that's great.
And it doesn't matter, you know, how long ago this has been written, because Alice Childress wrote this in the 50s. It was presented off-Broadway November the 4th, 1955, won the Obie Award there. And less than a month later is when Rosa Parks refused to get up on December the 1st, 1955.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very current and relevant today in regards to the ongoing conflicts with race.
And the issue in Trouble in Mind, it's about a theater company, isn't it? It's a progressive, forward-thinking, integrated theater company.
Well, it's not.
Or it purports to be.
Right. Well, it is a play within a play.
Right, right, right.
These black actors have come and they finally made it to Broadway. This play is going to be presented on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But it is written by a white playwright, directed by a white director, and produced by a white man. Now, since whites have written and orchestrated this play, it is black life the way they see it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not to give away too much, but that's in those times it was always like that, and so you just sort of took the work because as an actor you still have to survive.
Right.
And doesn't want to be on Broadway? If you get the opportunity to be on Broadway,
exactly.
You take the opportunity to be on Broadway.
But that play that they've written for us, the lead character, Willetta, she, of all the stuff that she's taken throughout her career to just work, there's an element of this play where she can't.
Right.
It's like Rosa Parks.
Right.
You know, today I'm going to sit here, so.
Right.
You know, I didn't plan to do this when I woke up this morning, but
that's just what I'm going to do now.
Like, my feet hurt. I don't want to move to the back. I'm just going to stay here.
Rosa Parks said that she says, I was a fairly young woman. She was in her 40s. She says, I wasn't tired.
Oh,
what I was sick and tired of was being treated like a second-class citizen.
Right.
That's where her tiredness came in.
And so, just to ask this, in Trouble in Mind, to what extent is the target of the play attempting to unravel and analyze the sort of liberal tendencies vis-a-vis minority communities as opposed to, you know, the dominant culture trying to oppress them. These are people, you mentioned the white playwright, the white director, the white producer. If you were to ask them over a glass of Chablis or Chardonnay, they would say, well, it's important that we put this play on to help African Americans.
Exactly.
And vote. So their motivations, narrowly defined, are not bad, but they're doing things that the play, I presume, shows are harmful or negative.
Not qualified.
Or not qualified.
Right. They do. They feel they're very, very liberal, mm-hmm. and that they're helping the black community by putting on this play.
Yes.
So, but I don't want to give too much away, but no. it does. It takes a 360 degrees turn there, and it's just, the cast is just, you know, I'm just feel so lucky and fortunate to be working with this stellar cast of young actors, and they're just dynamite.
Ooh. Now, I want to ask you, Ernestine, to give us the details. Our listeners out there want to know who, what, where, when, how.
Exactly.
We already know why.
We know why.
Right. They should go to theatricum.com, and let me just spell this theatricum. It's theatricum. Once again, theatricum.com. We're a beautiful amphitheater in Topanga Canyon.
A lovely Topanga Canyon.
Yes, surrounded by hills and trees, and it's just a beautiful theater. We have 5 shows running until the end of September. The Merchant of Venice, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Animal Farm, the musical, The Nether Cities, and of course, Trouble in Mind by Alice Childress. She was just a genius. Alice Childress was just a genius, and it was supposed to go to Broadway, but they wanted her to change it, and she just couldn't compromise that much. She was supposed to be the first female African-American playwright to debut on Broadway, but they wanted her to just totally water it down, and she just couldn't do it.
Wow.
So then that ends up, you know, in 1959 is when Lorraine Hansberry came in with The Raisin in the Sun and took that honor of being the first female African-American playwright.
I want to thank you so much, Ernestine Phillips. We know and love you from all the great stuff you're doing on TV, but it sounds like this play, Trouble in Mind, is absolutely must-see.
It's an incredible, incredible play, and I encourage everyone to come out and see it. Our prices are so low.
Oh, good.
Ellen Gear keeps her prices low. The important thing for her is for people to come and experience our plays and our wonderful actors. So,
and bring your wine with you.
Hey, Dave, we're going, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Fantastic. I want to thank you so much, Ernestine, for being part of The Bigger Picture. Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a very short commercial break. We're going to be back.